once again to Facts Are Meaningless. I'm Eric.
I'm Joe.
Hey, listen to the sound quality coming out of Joseph today. What have you changed, my friend Joseph?
My larynx.
If only Plantronics could fix the larynx. Is it a Plantronics headset or Logitech?
It is a Plantronics, and I believe it is the .855. I'm not sure what the dot is for.
Do they spell out the word dot, or is it just
no? It's like period 855 audio headset.
Ah, well, maybe it's not a full 1.0 headset yet.
I guess, and that's only what it says on the box, because it's as far as what Windows thinks it is. It's called C Media.
Interesting. Well, it sounds fantastic to me. It sounds like he's right here in the room with me. Hopefully, the recording will show the same amount of quality. But then again, you know, it's over Skype. Who knows what the hell could go wrong?
Yeah, I'm expecting Skype to squish down my voice fidelity.
It's entirely possible.
Not that it's particularly fidelity-esque coming out of my mouth.
Fidelis? I don't know.
That's Latin.
It is. So, in fact, we had this conversation last week where you said you hate the sound of your voice on the podcast, and I remarked that I actually hate the sound of my nasally horrible voice on the podcast, and you thought my voice was mellifluous, and I thought you sounded like Wolfman Jack in his prime. All right, please, everybody, take a look at the picture that I'm going to post with this podcast, because it's a riot. Joe just showed this to me. Tell the fine people about the, what is it called? Stress-free packaging?
Frustration-free packaging.
This is an Amazon thing where they send you stuff in cardboard only, so it's easy to open, and there's no blister pack, and you don't cut yourself, and you're not biting on plastic that rips your mouth open, and you know, it's supposed to be all good.
I'm not even sure if it's necessarily cardboard only. Like I just assumed it was something other than that, you know, wretched clamshell packaging that everybody hates.
Well, I mean that in itself is enough. I mean, as long as it's, you know, just easy to open, that's the key. But
right.
Why is it not working for you?
Well, first of all, I want to preface this by mentioning that I ordered a few things from Amazon on Monday. I was expecting to get them today. And this morning I got a couple of emails from Amazon saying, we're very sorry, but your products are not going to be coming today due to weather delays.
Well, that makes
sense. And as we know, there's a, you know, maelstrom going on right now. So I was like, okay, fine. But then they actually showed up. And this is like the fifth time this has happened. I've never gotten that warning and not gotten the product the same day.
They're just covering their asses.
I guess so, but it just seems like if they're sophisticated enough to be able to predict when the package is not going to get here, they should be able to know that it actually is going to get here.
Yeah, but, you know, again, covering their asses, because not only do they, you know, have to deal with weather, but, you know, you never know when you're going to have some schmuck on a truck who doesn't deliver something properly or throw the wrong thing in the wrong box. So whatever, you know.
Yeah. Nah.
But no, tell me about what you got in the mail.
All right. So I ordered three HDMI cables, 10-foot HDMI cables.
How much were they?
They were cheaper than dirt. They were $6.44 a piece,
which is fantastic. And by the way, anybody who ever buys an HDMI cable at retail, especially at a store like Best Buy from some vendor like Monster Cables, is an idiot. Because
by the way,
are ridiculous.
That quick aside, I have to send you the link. In Mass Effect 2, they had a video for that game where the guy goes into the store and he's like, it's an alien running the store. And great quip. He says, it's amazing that people think that light travels faster through a more expensive optical cable. It was really funny.
That is good. Yeah.
But anyway, so I got these three cables, and along with some other stuff. So everything was shipped in an exterior box, but you can see from the picture probably each of these boxes are about the size of a Mac Mini.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lousy 10-foot cable, 3 meters. And every one of them is in an individual, you know, what I would consider a large box for a cable. And it's frustration free. But you know, if I was more, you know, one of those people that gets riled up about waste, I would be pretty frustrated with this packaging. I'm actually kind of frustrated as we speak.
No.
Because it seems like an awful lot of extra. And this box had to cost like at least 50 cents.
Yeah.
So.
But is that cheaper than three blister packs? I don't know. I'm going to assume not.
No, I would think not. I would think blister packs are like really cheap to produce, whereas this cardboard, you know, is probably, and it's got this cardboard inside it too, so.
But they did all ship in one bigger box, correct? It's not like they shipped them each separately.
No, they didn't ship them all separately. That would have been completely idiotic. But
yes. But that's been known to happen. I mean, there was a thing a few years ago where Dell shipped like an individual set of manuals for Windows XP to this company that had bought a bunch of XP licenses, as if everybody actually would read the manuals, let alone need that many of them.
Right. I do remember that. And I've seen some pretty more, you know, much more egregious, stupid packaging tricks than this.
But,
okay, but look, see now.
At least the cable is – all right, let me take a snapshot of that. The cable is just in there by itself and not –
just loose in a box that's probably twice as deep as it needs to be.
Yes.
You know?
So they must pre-package these before they, you know, even put them in the box to send them out. You know, they've got to be stored on the shelf that way. The cable is not stored alone so that you would have three of them in a box. It's probably like too much
right. –
there's too much logistics to ask of a warehouse worker to deal with that.
Right, but I it seems like they could, you know, and Amazon Basics sells a lot of, you know, stuff, and maybe some of it is a better fit for this type of box, but it seems to me like a cable like this could have just as easily been, you know, put in a padded envelope or something like that, which would have been less bulky, probably cheaper, and would protect it just as well as
Or
these silly boxes.
Or better yet, cables could be reasonably priced at retail, and you could actually walk into the local Target and get one and not feel like you had been bent over the register on the way outside.
Oh, man, that is one of the biggest scams going. Every time somebody tells me that they bought a cable, and not just HDMI, but you know, any type of computer or AV cable at any type of retail store, I just wince in pain because I know that they got ass raped.
You know, you mentioned to me recently that you read Time magazine, and I was surprised that the thing even still exists. But you had some other issue with it, so you're going to have to tell me all about it.
Yes, I had an issue with it. My issue was that it didn't come one week.
Okay.
And so I don't know why I did this, but I called, and I got, like, the Indian call center, and the guy was basically like, oh, now I normally get it. If not on Friday, then on Saturday. This was a Tuesday, and the mail had already come. So I figured, okay, clearly it's not coming. So I called up, and the guy was like, oh, I'm sure it'll get there in a couple of days. I'm like, dude, did you hear what I just said? It's already 4 days late. It's not coming.
Yeah, and it's so, news. Why do you want your news late? I mean, you probably already know all the news, you know, by reading it online by that point.
Well, it's not always news. It's not always current events. It's, you know, some of it's stuff that doesn't necessarily age
well,
right
that's
away.
That's right. It's a paper magazine.
Right. But here's the thing. So when I realized that, you know, it wasn't going to come on time for me to consume it in a timely fashion, I was like, all right, well, I'll read it online. And it made me appreciate, like, I know that print is, like, not cool, and you're a loser and a dinosaur if you read print anything, but...
I'm glad you're saying all that so I don't have to.
Right. I'm trying to preempt you from having to make that observation. But I have to say that – and I do read stuff online, you know, the New York Times and stuff, but this was actually one of the few times I read something online that I normally read in print.
Yes.
You know, that I have a sub to. And God, what a miserable experience it was.
Now, what were you reading it on? Like, are you talking about just reading the website, or was there a digital version of the print magazine?
No, there was not a digital version of the print magazine. If there was one, like through Zinio or a PDF or something, I couldn't find it. And
okay.
I would have been presumably entitled to it as a subscriber. I couldn't find it. The best I could do was, you know, go to the – because, you know, you go to the website and it's a mishmash of, you know, not just the magazine, but daily stuff and blogs and all this other bullshit that I don't care about. So I found the actual, you know, page for the magazine issue.
Okay.
And so first of all, it's a completely different order than it is in the magazine. Like the TOC, it's just completely random. Like the features are first, and the, you know, the columns and the stuff that are in the front of the book or toward the end, and all of the graphics were missing. If it was a photo or if it was a chart,
yeah,
or an infographic or anything that was accompanying text, it was not there. Now, I don't understand what the technical challenge is for having that stuff online alongside the articles, but apparently that's not possible.
Huh.
But that I could all deal with. But what bothered me the most was when I would read the articles, every other graph would have a link at the bottom of it that was quasi-related to what was in the story or what was in the paragraph. So, and I'm trying to think of a way to describe it, but so if it was, you know, one article was about the bank bailouts, you know, and how Obama's getting reamed for politically for this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like one, you know, the article would have probably 10 or 12 links embedded in it. And one of them would be like, oh, you know, click here to read the, you know, see the top 10 bank failures of all time, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And then I was reading the cover story last week was about football and how dangerous it is and how many kids get concussions and, you know, severe injuries and stuff at high school and NFL and everything. So some of the links were just idiotic.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder whether they're actually edited by humans or whether they're just put in by some, you know, pseudo sophisticated software, because there was a sidebar to this article about football, about this kid who had, you know, who's basically paralyzed from the neck down after he got wailed on at high school football game and continued to play because of his asshole coach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in a particularly, like, you know, sensitive, poignant paragraph, the link was, click here to see a list of eccentric high school mascots. Now, that was like the most egregious one, but there were lots and lots of them like that.
It could have been far worse. It could have been, you know, click here to see, you know, horrible, deformed, you know, children pictures or something. I mean,
yeah, it could have. I mean, but, you know, the two things that struck me were, number one, you know, that's kind of like what I like about print. I'm here to read an article and I'm going to read the article. I don't want to be distracted by like 10 other, you know, kind of somewhat relevant articles, and they go back. They're not even like they're recent. They could go back a year or a year.
Oh yeah.
And a half.
Well, it's obviously an algorithm, you know, gone awry, you know, but that's how they all do it. It's like they have to do that. We do it on my, you know, company site and every site,
yeah,
like that. You know, the sites that you do freelance for. It's like if they don't have those extra links, then, you know, people might leave the site. And that's the whole goal, is trick people into staying for as long as possible.
But it made me appreciate, coincidentally, that same week was the Frontline episode about Digital Nation, and it was just on last week, and you can watch it online, so I highly recommend it. It would be at pbs.org.
Cool.
And basically the thesis was that because of the proliferation of technology, we've all become the attention span of a gnat. So
mm-hmm.
we can't focus on anything. We all think we're great multitaskers. Well, we're not. I don't think I'm a great multitasker, just for the record. I know I'm not. I think the only difference between me and others is I admit it.
I'm an awesome fucking multitasker.
You are not.
Dude, I am. I can take a book and an iPhone into the bathroom while dropping a deuce and text message and read a book all at the same time. My Toyota Prius is a 2006, and as far as I know, the only thing that might be awry there is something to do with the floor mats and the gas pedal sticking to them, but I don't have I have like my own floor mat in there. I don't have just a factory floor mat, so if it hasn't stuck by now, I don't think it's gonna.
Well, actually, I think the third-party floor mats is particularly what the issue was, not
oh, really?
When you used it. Yeah.
I should probably read all the paperwork that Toyota continues to send to me.
Paperwork? Don't you check this stuff online?
Well, they send me the paperwork, and then I immediately throw it in the big pile of crap that I need to file someday into these filing cabinets that I have, and I never read any of that stuff until I file it, and then I, like, see it, like, 3 months later. Oh, geez, my insurance lapse. Oops, I did not know that.
Paperwork. How quaint. See, I was about to talk about how I get 10 updates on that every 90 seconds.
Really?
And, yeah, I mean, well, I read Autoblog, so it's kind of hard.
Well, you know.
It's kind of hard to avoid it. But, I mean, the Toyota recall permeates, like, my every pore.
See, that's but, like, that's because you read about cars because you actually give a crap about them, whereas me, they are just a means of getting from place to place.
Right. Plus, I just counseled, you know, with my counsel and advice, my mom bought a Camry in October.
Ah, so.
But yeah, if your car's not on the list, just give it time, because that's what I was going to say, was that it seems like it's just expanding. First, it was just the Camrys, and then they added the Priuses, and now I heard it might involve Corollas, and it just seems like it's almost like an autism diagnosis. It's just expanding and expanding and expanding until it pretty much includes everything under the sun.
Well, it's, you know, there's a reason why that CEO had to go on, you know, the TV or whatever and beg basically for forgiveness and say, please trust us again. I mean, you're right. It keeps ballooning and ballooning, and, you know, there's only so far you can take it. I mean, I have never had a single problem with my Prius. It is, you know, 4 years old. It is kicking ass and taking names as far as I'm concerned for, you know, what's essentially a blue Easter egg with a fucking LCD screen in the dash. But it's great. I wouldn't trade it in for anything at this point. You know, I do figure that once I hit the 8-year mark and the battery warranty is up, that the battery will probably drop out onto the highway. But, you know, that's fine.
Well, that was the thing that struck me. It's just that you know how the media tends to blow things out of proportion.
I've never heard that. No.
Yeah, it just seems like this happens sometimes. But that was the thing. It just seems like every time, like, there's a modicum of, like, something to be concerned with, it turns into just this ridiculous thing. You know, people are acting as if their cars are going to turn into Christine. You know, I'm afraid to drive it. It's a death trap. And, you know, Toyotas are so ubiquitous, and there's only such a tiny handful of instances where this actually happened. So it just, you know, I don't know.
What? It's the car equivalent of the, you know, disease. What was the thing? Oh, God, I can't believe I'm blanking on the name of it.
H1N1.
H1N1, but even not so much that as the bird flu from a few years ago, where people were running from their houses to their cars because mosquitoes might bite them and give them the bird flu. I mean, I literally heard people tell me that they did that because they were afraid of getting bit by a mosquito.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. 5 people died of that year, and people went crazy. Not that many people died of H1N1, to be honest, and if they did, they were in pretty specific locations and had pretty specific socioeconomic issues that made them more liable for this to happen. But that's what, you're right, we blow things out of proportion. E. coli, mad cow disease, I mean, you know, England, like, wouldn't allow beef in from the U.S. for, I don't know, maybe they still don't because of fears over that kind of crap. But, you know, from a few minuscule things happening, because that's what happens when, you know, I'm going to be John Stewart here for a second. When you got 24 hours of news to fill all the time, you latch on to any stupid thing that will get viewers, and you run with it until it is choking you to death.
Yeah. Yes, I think you're right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's like there's so many Toyotas out there, I can't drive to the end of my block without passing like 9 of them. You know, if it was such a widespread issue, Toyotas would be crashing on every street corner.
Let me tell you, if there was a problem with the Toyota Priuses at all in Ithaca, New York, where I live, where 1 in every 8 people apparently have a Prius, this town would come to a crashing halt. We would be dead in the water, and the TCAT buses would be filled with gold because everybody would have to be running them because, you know, us hybrid owners, we don't want to pollute our atmosphere. So we'd take the bus.
I envy you because down here, 1 in every 8 cars is either an Escalade, a Hummer, or a Suburban.
Hummer. Someday the hybrid Hummer will make us all change our tunes, and we'll go back to gigantic cars that make absolutely no sense. Maybe they'll be solar powered too. It'd be
even better. They don't have a hybrid Hummer yet, but they do have hybrid Escalades and Suburban, which are basically mechanically what the Hummer is.
Yeah.
And that's such a hypocritical bullshit nonsense. That's like ordering three supersized McGill's at McDonald's and getting the Diet Coke.
Which upgrades, is exactly what I do.
It upgrades the mileage from criminal to atrocious. But it's a hybrid.
Don't you ever disparage the Diet Coke at McDonald's again, or you're dead to me.
I'm not disparaging Diet Coke. I'm disparaging hybrid SUVs.
Fine. And disparaging fat people who try to avoid whatever's in – what is in real Coke now? Oh, corn syrup.
High fructose corn syrup.
That's the real danger.
Except during Passover time when they actually start to make some with cane sugar, because apparently that's kosher or more kosher
Now you can buy the Pepsi throwback, which is made with real sugar.
Is that what it's actually called? Throwback?
Oh, you've never heard of that? Yeah, Pepsi throwback. Yeah, it's not a good name.
No, it's not.
It should be.
I just thought of two bad connotations
of that. So why not just call it Pepsi Upchuck? I mean, it's
right, or throw it back on the shelf.
Yeah, or that. To me, it's just it sounds vomitous, but it tastes very good because it's filled with delicious sugar.
They should have called it New Old Pepsi.
Okay, so I there has been a interview out with Bill Watterson, and Bill Watterson is the guy who created Calvin and Hobbes, probably the most beloved of all comic strips that has ever existed, next to Peanuts.
I need to stop you real quick.
Okay.
Now, all those things that I see of Calvin peeing on various things, please tell me that he's against that.
He is against that, and they are incredibly illegal. Yes.
Those okay. Are, so that's those, not a licensed product.
Oh, God,
that's
no.
That's not a licensed use of the...
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Thank
and if
God.
It was licensed, you know, they would have made billions of dollars. The syndicate that really owns Calvin and Hobbes, because Bill Watterson doesn't... Well, he must have some ownership, or else they would have continued the strip going. But, you know, yeah, it's definitely illegal. But... The point is that, and this was like the most linked to interview I have seen in forever. I mean, people just kept stumbling upon it. And it was at some like little podunk Ohio newspaper that posted it on their website. And the person, you know, was just like probably some newbie reporter who was lucky enough to get an email interview with Bill Watterson, which is huge. You know, he doesn't talk. It's been like 20 years and he's like the J.D. Salinger of comic strips. He does not talk, and that's fine, you know, to an extent. That just makes Calvin and Hobbes even absolutely cooler, and it was pretty cool to begin with. But here's the thing. The person asked Bill Watterson if he regretted at all, you know, leaving and not continuing the strip past the point that he did. And he only did the strip for like 10 or 12 years or something and basically made it the biggest thing going and then walked away. And he's like, absolutely not. Why would I regret that? If I was still doing it today, everybody would be in backlash mode thinking that I am a total hack and I was only good for a certain amount of time. Because look at Jim Davis. Garfield at one point was the pinnacle. Everybody wanted to do Garfield. Now that is a joke enough that there's a fake thing called Garfield Without Garfield where a guy reposts Garfield comic strips on the internet. But he erases Garfield and all of Garfield's word balloons so that it's like these poignant things of the cat's owner, John Arbuckle, talking to himself as he wanders around his apartment. They're very surreal and awesome, to be honest, without Garfield. But it that just shows you, like, the joke of Garfield had to become another joke to become funny again.
Whereas, you hear that, Jay Leno?
Yeah. So, you know, I just think that I wanted to say to you, Joe, I think this should be our last podcast because at number 5, we've obviously hit the pinnacle of what we're capable of. Our popularity is at its peak. It's time to walk away.
Wait, but you said there'd be bags of money.
Yeah, I might have lied a little bit about that one. But I just want everybody to know when things come to an end, early and they have a real ending like Calvin and Hobbes did, like Lost is going to have, you know, any schmuck at a network who sits back and says in the next few years, we should do a sequel to Lost and put it on Monday nights at 9.
We'll call it Still Lost.
That is the person who should be killed immediately. That is wrong on in every way, shape, manner, and form.
Speaking of TV shows that should have ended, Scrubs.
Yeah, Scrubs is a perfect example.
Oh, God.
Roseanne is a perfect example. You know, even MASH probably went far too long, even though at least that remained popular and beloved. You know,
It just lost its top spot.
Super
the other day.
Bowl 40, was it 44? Whatever was 40, on.
44, yeah, by 500,000 viewers, 106 million.
Why would more people watch the Indianapolis Colts play a football game than watched MASH 25 years ago? It just boggles my mind.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't know how they measure that stuff, but I would guess that there were more people watching the game toward the end than actually tuned in at the beginning, because
it's usually the other way around, though.
I know, but in this case, I think it would be the opposite, because Indianapolis and New Orleans, they're relatively small towns. It's not like, you know, I don't think those are like teams like the Dolphins or, you know, the 49ers or the Patriots or the Packers that have an actual following that's in a wide region.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but I think what probably happened was everybody found out, you know, kind of heard word of mouth what a great game it was, and then more and more people tuned in.
How do they get the word of mouth? That's the thing. I'm betting – I want to know just how much social networking like Facebook and Twitter might have actually driven people to turn on that game at the end. If what you're saying is true, and I have no idea if that is true, we'd have to go like look up some kind of stuff. And this podcast, we don't do any actual research. We just, you know – come up with stuff and riff. So we're not gonna do any work, but I think it'd be interesting to know. Well, Joseph, we've come to the end of another fine podcast here at Facts Are Meaningless.
We have.
A fine podcast or come to the end? I think
we've definitely come to the end. We can agree on that.
Let's agree on that and that alone. So hey, people who are listening to this, if you made it this far, for the love of fucking God, leave a comment of some sort here at factsaremeaningless.com, or drop us an email, or find us on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter, or don't follow Joe, he doesn't bother, even though he has an account, and he really should, because he just lives a fascinating life. Wow, even he's laughing at the implication that anything he does could be fasted. So, all right. So much for that one.
Jocularity!
All right. We will be back again next week with another fine episode.
See, I was hoping to sound like John Boehner.